heirs because of relationship. The Bible says that we are heirs of promise. I read all of those promises from Abraham because we are the heirs to those promises. God has promised that your name will be great. Now, it may not seem that your name is great down here, but you know what? Jesus said, I'm going to call your name in the place that counts. Your name is being called in heaven. Now, you're not excited about that. See, if you believed, you'd be excited about that. Do you know that God called Job's name in heaven? He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Think about that. Have you considered my servant Job? No one on earth heard that call. So Satan got mad about that. Your name, if you're a true heir, has been called. Just put your name in there. Have you considered my servant? Put your name in there. You see, your name is going to be great. Bible said, despite all the things that Satan tried to put on him, he never lost his integrity. We are heirs of all those promises that God had given to Abraham. Look at this. Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Do you remember what all the promises I just read that Abraham said that was to him and to his seed? Do you understand? Do you understand those promises belong to us? Because that's what Galatians 3:29 says. If you are Christ, if you truly belong to him, if you are in the family, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according, what does it say? To the promise. That means all these things here. Let me go back. You will be a great nation. Your name shall be great. You will be a blessing. Blessed be everyone who blesses you. Cursed be anyone and everyone who curses you. You will be exceeding fruitful. All of those blessings are for us. Trouble is, we don't believe it. You know, you could be very rich today. I bet you there's someone in here who is an heir to a fortune. Amen. Many times when a very rich person dies and they have no heirs that are known, the legal firm has to do a search, and they search out and they go back to the ancestry and they try and find the closest living relative. I'm pretty sure, see, my heritage, my father's father and father was Scottish, and he came from Scotland, and that name Brown originally was spelt with a silent E. And who knows, I might be heir to some fabulous Scottish castle. But you know, that would be exciting, but I am heir to something much greater than that. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because I'm going away to prepare for you something more than a Scottish castle. Something more than an earthly mansion. But I'm going away to prepare a heavenly mansion. Amen. A heavenly mansion. Anyone been in a mansion? I've been in a few mansions. I've been in a few palaces. When we were living in England, we got to tour a few palaces. There's a place that King Henry VIII built called Hampton Court. And it's huge. Huge. In the words of Donald Trump, huge. Now, I heard that in his plane, he's got gold-plated bathroom fixtures. And in his Trump Tower, he's got gold-plated this and marble that. But I'm telling you that although it is his heirs would inherit that, we have something greater. We have something greater. Let me say it again, Galatians 3:29. And if he be in Christ. So what kind of promise is this? It's conditional. If he be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, how do we get in Christ? How do you become part of the family? Right. You have to be born again. That's how you get into the family. That's how this promise, that's the condition for this promise. Galatians 3:29. If ye be Christ, if you belong to him, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. Let's look at this. Now, it doesn't do any good if you have a promise and you don't believe it. If I tell you I'm going to give you $1 million, I know you're not going to believe it. Because you know I don't have $1 million. But if I was Bill Gates or Donald Trump, well, maybe if it's Donald Trump, you still wouldn't believe it. I shouldn't say that. All right, let's pick somebody else. Let's say I was a really rich person, you know, Bill Gates, $80 billion. And I say, I promise to give you $1 million. Now, you may not have got the money yet, but if you believe it, would you be going around like this? I got so many bills. They're going to turn off the electricity. My car. You've just been promised $1 million. You'd give it away. You'd say, here, take the keys. You want my house? Have that. Because those things would be nothing. You'd go out, buy yourself a mansion. Instead, God has given us a promise. And we're going around like this. Oh, woe is me. What am I going to do this week? See, this tells us how much we believe. Because if you really believed, even though you hadn't received it yet, you'd all be smiling. You really would. If tomorrow you knew, absolutely, I'll even reduce it. You're going to get a check for $1,000. Let's just put it down where our tiny mind can maybe grasp it. You wouldn't be going around, man, I'm going to get $1,000 tomorrow. Maybe in April you all get much happier because of tax refunds. Even before you get it from January, you're all planning what you're going to do with it. All right, I'm going to fix my car. I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get a new. From January, you all start getting happier because you have that expectation. And because it's the government, U.S. government, guess what? You believe it. Because it's got the full faith and credit of just the U.S. I'm telling you, God has put his full faith and credit behind his word. In fact, the U.S. government on their $1 bill, what do they put? And yet we don't. We don't. Because all we're looking at is our present situation. I tell you, we have been given exceeding great promises. But either we don't believe them or we're ignoring them. Because if we believe them, we would have joy. Joy. It doesn't matter. If I knew for certain and believed it for certain that in 2 weeks I was going to get $1 million, I would get through the next 2 weeks. Wouldn't you get through the next? Even if I had to sleep on a park bench, I would be sleeping on that park bench smiling. This is only for the next 2 weeks. Then I'm going to rent out the Pfister Hotel, the top floor, and just stay in there and order up everything I want. You see, it tells us where our belief is. Because if we, even though we're still going through some stuff, you see, Abraham believed God before anything changed. Let's look at God's promises here. Genesis 15:3. And Abraham said, behold, to me that thou hast given no seed. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise. He was 75 when God told him. Now that's old. I can say that because I still got a few years to go. I'm going to give you a son. At 75, God told him he was going to give him a son. Okay, God. At 100, he still hadn't gotten the son. Now it could have been many reasons. It could have been partially Abraham. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, the one born in my house is not mine heir. That's very profound scripture if you think about it with the New Testament scripture. It's only those in Christ are the heirs. Even if you are born into a religious family, that doesn't make you an heir to God's promise. You still have to get in Christ. You can go to church all you want. If you're not in Christ, still does not make you an heir. The one born in my house is not my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And I can imagine Abraham saying, well, I'm 100. His wife Sarah was saying, well, shall we have pleasure in our old age? She was kind of listening in and she was laughing. But God wanted to show him and to make him believe. He said, come here, I want you to come outside. Now, in those days, they didn't have telescopes. They could only see the stars with their naked eyes. And back before the invention of the telescope, the amount of stars they could see was between 5 and 7,000. That's a big number, but that's not an uncountable number. God revealed a revelation to Abraham here, a scientific revelation thousands of years before man could prove it. He said, look, I want you to look towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. He was telling him there's more stars than you can see and know. This was in the Bible thousands of years before man could prove it. God told him there are billions of stars. And he said, so shall thy seed. You know who he was talking?
Thank you, Lord.
Me and you.
Yes.
That we're going to be as the stars of heaven. But only if you're in Christ and if you will believe. It does no good if I tell you there's $1 million down at the bank if you don't believe me. You're just putting me on. And we live below God's promises because we don't believe them. One of the conditions for the promises, you have to believe them. If you don't believe those promises that I just read for Abraham, you'll get not a one. Not a one will be fulfilled in your life. You have to hold your head up and say, I've got every single one of those. My name shall be great.
Hallelujah.
Now, that's not boasting on yourself. That's boasting on the promise that God told Abraham. Everyone that curses me is going to get cursed. Do you believe that? You see, it doesn't do you any good. God gives you 7,000 promises. And we come in here Sunday all bedraggled and, I don't want to stand up and worship. Can't we sit down now? Listen, as I told you, if God told you I'm going to give you $1 million or it was going to come, you would be running around this church. You watch those game show contestants. So-and-so, come on down. They haven't won anything. They haven't won anything. All they've done is said, come on down. And they're excited. We come to church like, he better say a word today. He better get me hyped up. No, I'm not. You better find your own promise and you better start believing it. You know, it's terrible how we are. Let's be honest now. God has got 7,000 promises. And how many of them do we really believe? It's a shame. The promises that were given to Abraham, one of the conditions, you have to actually believe it. My name is going to be great. You should say that tomorrow morning when you wake up. My name is going to be great. When I go to work, they're going to just bless me. I'm going to receive God's favor. Things are going to open up for me. No one who says anything against me is going to prosper because I am in Christ and every promise belongs to me. I'm a seed of Abraham. Let me finish this story because I want to show you what happened. God took him outside. God had told him these promises. Maybe why it took 25 years is because Abraham still had not got to the place of faith. But you can tell the point where he does. And he brought him forth abroad and looked now towards heaven. Abraham could not see more than the 5,000 stars. God was revealing a mystery. God told him, there's uncountable stars, but I know them by name. God knows you by name. He said, the very hair on your head is numbered. You don't even know that. You may know you're losing it, but God knows exactly the number. It was at this point in verse 6 of Genesis 15 that the Bible declares something special. This is when Abraham believed for sure the promises of God. So shall thy seed be. And it says, and he believed in the Lord. The moment you start to believe on the promises, that's when you're unlocking the door. That's when it's going to start happening. It said, and he believed in the Lord, and God counted it for him for righteousness. Well, if you're a righteous person, blessing has got to come. The moment he believed, it unlocked the door to righteousness. God imputed righteousness and said, Abraham, you are perfect. That allowed all those promises to start happening. And by the time Abraham died, he was one of the richest men on earth. He had more cattle and lands and blessings and children than he could ever use up. The reasons why we don't is because we don't believe the promises. I'm just going to give you 7 key promises that God has given to man. He, as I said, to supply the need we have. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs. Again, not my wants, my needs. My needs. Number 2, his grace is sufficient for us. When I had my Damascus Road experience, this was the scripture that triggered the event. I was reading the 2 Corinthians 12 when it hit me and God started to speak to me. My grace is sufficient because my power is made perfect in your... In fact, to me, that's almost the greatest promise ever. That God is going to discount all our weaknesses, all our faults, all our messes. Amen. If you're in Christ, this promise belongs to you that he is counting you perfect. Hallelujah. That his grace is sufficient. His unmerited love for you is sufficient. I've used the example of a baby being born. And I've asked, when does the parent start loving the baby? Is it once they are potty trained? Now I can love you. You've achieved something. I hated that baby until they could clean themselves up. I hated that baby. I had to get up every 2 hours and feed that baby, diaper that baby. I hated that baby. No. The moment the baby is born, see, that's a birthright promise. God loves you when you're born into his family. Now, you're still pooping every 2 hours. You still need cleaning up. You still need fixing up. I was tempted to say something about when you get old. My wife has given me a warning face. I won't go there. But babies need a lot of cleaning. That doesn't mean that you don't love them. God, that's what this promise is. His grace is sufficient as long as you stay in the family. The moment the baby starts saying, leave me alone, I don't need your help. There's something wrong with that baby. Not a baby. That'd be scary if your 2-month baby said, leave me alone, I don't need your help. But that's what we do. That's exactly, we're in a mess, cannot do nothing for ourselves, and we won't let God take care of us by submitting. You ever try to change a baby when they don't want to be changed? And they're uncomfortable, they're wet, they're in a mess, but they're fighting you. If the cap fits, wear it. Hallelujah. Promise 3, his children will not be overtaken with temptation. Now, the scripture says, lead us not into temptation, but it really means don't let us lead ourselves into temptation. Block every door I'm not supposed to go to, Lord, because I'm so weak. I'm so hopeless. Amen. I'm trying to hurry. Victory over death. That when this body dies, we're not going to die. If we've died in that baptismal, but we're going to be changed. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. If you believe that, you'd be happy. Amen. Here's 5, the one we always count. All things work together for good to those who love God and are faithful to him. But I told you what's the most important part of that scripture, right? What's the first 3 words? And we know. That means believe. And we know, but my car just got wrecked. I was trying to encourage Brother Larry. You know, they came, this is the first time they came up to visit Chris. They tried to break into the car and they damaged it. They came up this time, they broke into the car, they stole it, and then they crashed it. And then the police took it to the pound, and then they have to now pay $300 to get it out the pound. And it wasn't, you know, the police took it there. And then when they came, they wouldn't let him actually take it out the pound. He had brought a trailer. They said, no, you can't take it out the pound unless you're a licensed tow truck driver. You got to go across the street to a tow truck driver and pay him to just drive it 100 yards off the lot. Wow. You know, the devil can find the spot to try and discourage you. And I was telling you, Brother Larry, I don't know, this is not a good thing. I don't know how this is going to work to the good, but God can still somehow work to the good. The situation we're going through may not have anything that looks good. Sickness doesn't look good. But you do not know how God is going to use that. It's the things you have gone through that make you the person you are today. Amen. Right? Good judgment comes from bad experience. At least it should. If you haven't learned anything from pain, then you're in trouble. If you don't learn that the stove is hot, you're going to have a lot of scars. You know, and it takes some of us a while to learn that certain things we should avoid because they are painful in the end. All things. That's a hard saying. Can we say that today? All things? Let's say it. All things. All right. Let's believe that. So tomorrow when you can't find your keys and you're late for work, you say, all things, Lord. You're saving me from a traffic accident. You're saving me from running into something. All things. All things. Amen. Let's go on. Number six, those who place faith in Jesus are saved and forgiven, because it's not just belief, but James says faith with works. When you believe something, you act upon that belief. If I tell you I got $1 million for you in the bank tomorrow, you're going to be there from like, that's right. You'll go and case to make sure you know exactly where the bank is. You'll be looking at going and reading what time it opens, right? You will act upon your belief. Now, if you don't believe me, you'll let that money sit there. Last one, the promise of eternal life. Bible says we are passed from death unto life. I'm not going to die. I'm just going to be changed. Hey, I'm going to try and hurry here. Let's go to the scripture that we started with, 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Ooh. But God, I don't have this. I don't have that. Does that pertain unto godliness? It's two things, life and godliness. So there may be some things you lack that would be good for life, but maybe if you got them, you wouldn't be in church. You know what all these Super Bowl winners say? They say, where are you going? Disney World. See, if you got $1 million tomorrow, would I see you in church next Sunday? Amen. Well, we won't test that. There's some things God doesn't give us because we can't handle it. We can't handle it. You see, not everything pertains to life and godliness. Sister,
even though we would have money, we still would need God for everything else.
We should. We should. But I'm not sure that some people can handle God's blessings. It's been proved. Some people, when they get blessed, they go crazy. They lose their mind. They lose their salvation. Jesus said it's better that a person get into heaven without all these things. That it's harder for a rich man to go through an eye of a needle. You know, because you want to take everything with you. You want to take certain friends with you. Hangers on that are not going in your direction. According his divine power hath given us all things. Let's say all things.
All things.
So it's not just all things work together for my good. But if you believe the promise, he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And godliness. That's if you're in Christ. Now you still have to do your part. You have to take the medicine. You can't put it in the shelf and leave it. God has given you the medicine. He's given you the prescription. It's his word. It's his word. Well, I'll take it every other day. I'll take the pill and I'll divide it up and mix it with this one. Sometimes when you do that, you have medicine interaction. You're getting half truth over here, some truth over here, and you try and mix it up yourself and take it. Then you get sick spiritually. Whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They're precious. In the Greek, that word is likening it like it's the same word that's used for a diamond or an emerald or a expensive stone. God's promises are that valuable. They're that valuable. And the reason is because people don't know how to use them. So that he might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the world, escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. Hebrews 10:23 says, let me just read it. Let us hold firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promise. I'm going to try and hurry up here. The nature of God's promise, great and precious, certain of fulfillment. Now, I've preached this message before about Joshua. He was given a promise 40 years when he left Egypt that he would get an inheritance. And so finally, after 40 years, they come into Canaan. They're into the promised land. And he wants the promise fulfilled. So he says, now, therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Sometimes to take your promise is a bit of a fight. We had a bit of a fight to get into the house yesterday. I had to say, give me the house, Satan. You're not going to lock us out. Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. That was a promise. God promised him. But the promise was that he had a fight. Well, no, I don't think that's the kind of promise I want. I just want to walk in there, take my ease. God promised him a fight, but God also promised him the victory. God promised a lot of things, but a lot of times the promise also involves a bit of a fight. You see, the mountain was inhabited by giants, Anakims, that's what they were. And the cities that were in this particular area were great and fenced. But here's Joshua, the only one that said, we are well able, with Caleb, sorry. We are well able to take this land. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out. As the Lord said. Let's stand. Chris preached this message maybe twice now. His promises in modern English are yes and amen. Amen means so let it be. I'm telling you, we have great promises. But if you don't use them, they're not going to do nothing for you. For all the promises of God in him are yea. And in him, amen. I heard someone talking about their philosophy in raising children. And they said that their policy when raising a child is to always say yes. Always say yes. So that whenever they say no, when they say no, the child will say, wait a minute, Daddy never says no. So if he says no this time, it really must be important. See, a lot of times we just say no. God is not like that. His policy is he always wants to say yes to you. That's what it says. For in him are yea, and in him let it be so. God loves you. He wants to see you happy. So if he says no, then you better stay away from it. Because his policy is to always say yes. But sometimes he has to say no because it's bad for you. Remember, whether it pertains to life and godliness. It may pertain to life. A Rolls Royce and a yacht might pertain to life, but I'd be out on the yacht. I wouldn't be in church. Let's face it. Like those football players after the Super Bowl. Where are you going to be? Disney World. Right? We'd be touring the world. We wouldn't be winning souls. We wouldn't be worshiping. We'd be all over the place. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God. See, God wants us to be happy. And when we are blessed, when we're fulfilling, that's when he is happy. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us. And given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Let us hold fast, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. And here's the last promise I'm going to speak about. For he who promised is faithful. He's not like me. I promise to call you, but I might forget. Not deliberately, but I'm just human. But the one who has made all these promises is faithful.
Yes, he is.
It's impossible for him to forget.
Yes.
And he is without wavering. Amen. It's faithful. I hope this Sunday school message has encouraged you. You have more than 7,000 promises. Find one. Believe it. We saw in Genesis 15 where Abraham was shown something, a revelation. God said, there's more stars than you can see, Abraham, and I know every single one of them by name. And in, I think it's 15:6, he says, and Abraham believed. That was the moment in Scripture that he believed, and that unlocked the door to all of God's blessings. The Bible says that God counted it for righteousness. When you believe God, he's going to count it as righteousness. You are taking a key and you're unlocking. You want blessing? You got some financial needs? We all do. You got some spiritual needs? You got some healing needs? Unlock the key. I know you can't go out there right now and see the stars. Open his word. There's some stars in there. And start to believe. I'm telling you, you wake up tomorrow and you tell whoever is listening, demons, Satan, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, God has promised them to me. I'm going to get them. They are mine. I am a seed of Abraham. He's going to make my name great. He's going to bless me. I'm going to bless others. Amen. If you are Abraham's seed in Christ, you are heirs to every single promise. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads at this time. Father, we just thank you today for your word. Help us to believe in faith, to stand upon your promises. Lord, to not just...